Welcome to Vineyard Church Dungannon, a place where lives are being changed. The following message was given at one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.
Well, I suppose that's it. I'm going to have to say something now, aren't I? I wondered how I would start off today, you know, and I was going to say something along the lines of, it's a pleasure here to share with you from the front, but anybody that knows me probably knows that that's maybe pushing the realms of truth. But then I thought about it for a while, you know, and actually it is a pleasure and it is a privilege to, spill water all over the place. It is a pleasure and a privilege actually to serve God and to say yes to Him. And just before I do start, I've never regretted saying yes to Jesus and anything that He's asked me to do. The only thing I've ever regretted was saying no to things. So if you just keep that in mind throughout the 5 minutes that I'll be here, would be great. So, have a wee countdown. Is that going up or down? It's going up. Right, okay. So this morning I'm going to be speaking on serving in a structured way. There we go. The choosing of the seven. Now, it seems a bit, I had hoped that I'd be able to read it off the screen, but I can't, so I'm going to have to turn around. Okay. So, it says, the choosing of the seven is Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you, you know, who are full to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Macarius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to faith. This is the word of the Lord. It is true, and it is good, and it is given to us in love. Here we go. So a considerable amount of time has passed here between the end of chapter 5 and the start of chapter 6. In fact, it's and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. It says in Acts 5, verse 47. So we're probably looking at a church containing around several thousand people at this point. So imagine trying to cope with that, to serve that. Imagine several thousand people all being served by just 12 men. Just 12 men, several thousand people. It had to be an impossible task. The church was still solely made up of Jews at this point. There were two groups of Jews, the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. So the Hellenists were Jews born outside of the land of Palestine, and they were Greek speakers, and they followed Greek way of life, their customs and sort of their outlook on life and how they viewed things. Whereas the Hebraic Jews spoke Aramaic, and they were from Palestine and followed the Jewish culture and customs rigorously daily. So what could possibly go wrong? You know, what would we know of two groups of people living closely together, following different cultures? You know, would they ever fight? Surely not. Surely not. So some of the Hebraic Jews here saw themselves above the Hellenists. They saw themselves as better Jews because they followed the customs that they followed the customs better, and they were seen as, the Hellenists were then seen as something less, something of less value than the local Jews. There's something else that we're used to, the local people, you know, being better and all that. Of course, we wouldn't think that over here, you know. The Hellenistic widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the help was needed by these widows who had no one else to provide for them. With widows, their husbands had passed away, maybe perhaps even generations of a family had passed away. They had to move then. They had no family to look after them, so they had to move closer to Jerusalem. And it was the church's responsibility to look after those who had nobody to look after them. And it still is today to do those things. Feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, healing the sick, and setting the captive free. We read in Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Back around this way. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared you for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Got lost here. Oh, sorry. Right, so the grumbling and the murmuring of the unfair treatment got to the 12. Was it something else that they had to take on? Was it something else that they had to sort out? Was it another problem to add to their already immense workload? They took this as an opportunity instead. They came at it a different way. The 12 saw this as an opportunity to commission others who were filled with the Holy Spirit to serve in ministry. They took this opportunity, put structure and processes in place within the church so that they could devote themselves to the teaching of the word rather than waiting on tables. I think something to emphasize here, along with preaching of the word and feeding people, you know, the members of the church brought from their plenty to give for those who had nothing, for those who didn't have anything. So imagine the magnitude of this task. All these people coming to the feet of the 12 and then all this food out. And then them having to go and sort that, cook it, do whatever with it. I'm not saying they probably had teams along with them, but they still were responsible for making sure that everything happened. And then after doing all that, they still had to preach the word of God every night, every day, every evening, to several thousand people. It just had to be an immense task, nearly impossible task. So the church chose 7 men known to be full of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. The 12 give the members of the church the opportunity to choose the 7 men full of the Holy Spirit to take over the distribution of food. And I had always read that wrong. I just always assumed that the apostles chose the 7 and said, "Here you go, there you go. These are the guys and they're going to do it." But it wasn't. It was left to the church. And I think it's noteworthy that the apostles didn't try and hold tightly to the ministry, to the ministries, and hold tightly to the power and the control and say, "This is mine. It's not as ours, it's the church's." And they showed trust. They left it for the church to pray with, to pray over, to invite the Spirit, Holy Spirit into the decision of who would take over this important ministry of looking after those who had nothing. And just trusting that the Holy Spirit would also do his part in the whole thing. So the church chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Curious, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. Something to note, there's only 2 of those names read out that are mentioned later on in the Gospel. So Stephen is the first person to be martyred for his faith. And the Holy Spirit filled him and he had a great rebuttal to those who were bringing charges against him. And Philip went on to preach the Gospel. And on his way to Jerusalem, he baptized an Ethiopian eunuch and started, which marks the start of the church in Ethiopia. So what else is there to consider when choosing who would serve? Romans 12, verses 6 to 8 tells us to serve according to our gifting. Oh, there we go. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8 to 11, also speaks of serving with love and out of gifting from the Holy Spirit. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, so a good example of serving and serving in a structured way was when Jesus fed the 5,000. I feel like I'm just reading a lot of stuff here. But yeah, so when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And as he directed the people to sit on the grass, taking 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gives thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So basically, in all of that, the disciples, it's getting late in the day, and the disciple, after Jesus had healed the sick, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Look, send these guys away. They're going to get hungry. We've nothing here for them." And Jesus turns to them and said, "No, you feed them. You know, it's your responsibility. You feed them." "Oh, but sure, we've only 5 loaves and a couple of fish. It's impossible." So Jesus tells them to bring their food to him. And before anything else, he says, get the people to sit down in groups. Sit down. He's put in organization and structure in place. Then he goes on to bless the food and perform the miracle, and then they're all fed. So there's structure and organization and things. And it's the same here in the food bank here. We've had to put structure and processes in place here at the food bank. The end goal for a lot of people is just to come in, get the food and leave. You know, our end goal is for them to have an encounter with Jesus, the risen Lord. But the food is what they're here for mainly, you know. And just with the crowds of people at the minute that we are serving, we had to change the structures and the way we do that. Whereas with Leslie and Paula meeting them at the front door with a cup of coffee and a biscuit and a smile most of the time, and giving them a number of where they are in the queue till coming in and having a seat, and people talking to them, making them feel welcome, making them feel that they're worth something, that there's somebody there to have a conversation with them, to moving on to talking to myself or Esther or Sally Ann, or maybe going through to somebody with an assessment to see how we can help them best, what we need to do to help them progress to where they need to get to. And then after that, once they've done all that, then they go and get their food. They're offered prayer as well. And, you know, there's a process and a structure to all that. And even behind that, there's the organising of making sure there's food here. There's a warehouse team. There's 200 people that bring food to here. There's people that are in at 8 o'clock in the morning starting to pack hampers. There's people delivering from Tesco to here. There's just a raft of structure and organization and processes that are followed to make these things happen. I'm not in any way saying it's a miracle, but it takes a lot to do. So the seven men chosen by the church to distribute the food were from the Greek-speaking group of the Church of the Hellenists. Was this to make sure that the Hellenist widows were well catered for and their interests were fairly looked after? Or was it something more? What I've found over time is that those who've experienced lack or need or injustice have such more of a sense of justice and things should be done right, and they have a heightened sense of it. And to me, I think that's why they were from that the Hellenist side of the church. So it says these men were presented to the apostles who laid hands on them. The laying on of hands is very significant. You know, throughout the Old Testament, the laying on of hands was used to pass on blessing or to pass guilt from sinner to sacrifice or to commission someone into a new role. In the New Testament, the passing of the guilt from sinner to sacrifice has been dropped as Jesus is the one sacrificial lamb to cover all sin for those who believe and put their trust in him as the risen Saviour. So the laying on of the hands in the New Testament, it was seen in healings, it was seen in important spiritual gifts, it was seen in commissioning, and it was seen in blessings. So they were commissioned into the role that would later be known as deacons. So the servants were commissioned into this new role of food distribution under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So the church continued to grow, and a large number of priests became obedient to faith. So they're obviously now very successful in how they carried out their tasks and their organizing and their structure. And, you know, especially since the priests, many priests became obedient to the faith. You know, that's really significant that you know, they must have seen that the seven are now the deacons. They must have seen how they cared for one another, how they served one another diligently, with love and compassion, just demonstrating a life in the kingdom of God and how things should be, could be, and should be, you know. And it's a big deal for these guys. These guys grew up in lineage, you know, to serve in the church, to observe the old covenant teachings and the customs and the rituals and all these things, and they give all that up, now accepting the preaching of the apostles and responding to the command of the gospel. To believe is to obey. Peter Williams says it brilliantly. God does not change, the gospel does not change, and the people's need of salvation does not change either. But social patterns change from age to age, and each generation brings its own problems. We had that here, changing patterns through COVID, when the online church was the only way that we could meet for so long. I've already talked about the food bank. The structure of the food bank had to change through COVID and now through the cost of living crisis that we deal with. Years ago, pre-COVID, those eight people served 15 households and we thought we were killed. You know, you come out of it absolutely knackered. Now, last week, there were 62 households. And those six of us. So that shows with the difference, with the change in approach and the change in patterns and the change of structure and processes, that these things can be done. And you still get to pray with people, you still get to talk to people, you still get to bring people to know that they are valued and worth knowing. Excuse me. So the church had the change then and now as they serve to accommodate the changing times and the growing numbers. So they're separating ministries within the church and changing how the church served as it grew. So with doing that, it left the work so much manageable within this growing church. You know, it didn't just stop growing here at this point. It continued to grow exponentially. You'd think I would learn that road before I say it. But it grew so much, you know, and all the needs were being met. because of the processes and the structure, and those people that were organizing this under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the best way to do it. And here's one that you love. Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. I can serve. You can serve. But serve with the gifting that you've been given through the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's daunting and you may have to learn something new, but that's okay. We're a church, we're a community, we're a family who supports each other. And with God, all things are possible. No, everybody can and everybody should play their part with the gift that God has given. You are unique. Your gifting is uniquely given to you. Use it. Use it. And this isn't a guilt thing where I'm saying, come and do more. Do more. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not? It's not. It's make use of what God has given you. As I had said earlier, that I only regretted the things that I said no to. I've never regretted saying yes to what he's had for me. And just as the band make their way up, I'll just finish with 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or with speech, but with actions and in truth.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information on what's happening in the life of our church, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.